Welcome. Are you ready to take a journey with me into knowledge, enlightenment, and discovery? Then let's journey again together. This is your host, Rebecca Jernigan, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am Rebecca Jernigan, your tour guide into discovery. I have not one, but two guests tonight, Kevin and Michelle Henley. A little bit more about them in just a moment. First, I'd like you to just go on over to the website. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. And in the Our World News section is posted some video of a short interview with Gary McKinnon. Now, as you guys may remember, he was the guy that was arrested by the UK's National High-Tech Crime Unit after being accused of hacking into NASA and the US military computer networks. You know, he was looking for photographic evidence of alien spacecraft and advanced power technology. You can check out that interview done by the BBC. The link is right there on my homepage. Sincerely, a great little piece of footage. Okay, back to tonight's guest. They are return guests. Kevin Henley is a former psychotherapist, a professor, and an attorney. Now, he is dedicated to the work and transformation of our planet through his writing, teaching, and spiritual practices. Michelle Henley is a former counselor, psychotherapist, and a teacher. She's a visionary healer, energy worker, spiritual teacher, and published author. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Schedule your private psychic reading with Rebecca, a truly gifted intuitive and clairvoyant, and the host of Journeys with Rebecca radio show. Call 1-888-958-2768. That's 1-888-958-2768. Where will your life's journey take you?
Hi, this is Rebecca. You know, it's easy to keep up with all the latest Journeys news. My upcoming guest, just sign up to receive the Journeys newsletter. It's free, and you will never receive any junk mail. Your email is never sold or distributed. So keep up to date the easy way. Just log on to my website, journeyswithrebecca.com, and at the bottom of the main page, you'll see the box. Type in your email address, and you're done. And once a week or so, you'll receive all the latest Journeys news.
There's a resort called Give Kids the World where children with life-threatening illnesses can fill their week with pure joy. Kids and their families indulge in simple pleasures like swimming, visiting local Orlando theme parks, and eating unlimited ice cream, all for free. Call 800-995-KIDS or visit the Give Kids the World website at gktw.org and help give them a time to remember. Brought to you by Give Kids the World and the Ad Council.
Journeys with Rebecca is sponsored by Fate Magazine, published continuously since 1948 with a broad array of true accounts of the strange and unknown. Subscribe today at fatemag.com.
More than talk, it's entertaining insight and discoveries. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. And as promised, I have not one, but two guests here this evening. And I have with us tonight Michelle and Kevin Henley. And I'm also looking at their book, A Time of Fire, A Way of Fire. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. But first, let me go ahead and just say hi to both Kevin and Michelle. Welcome to the show.
Hi, and thank you.
Hi, Rebecca.
And for those of you who have followed Journeys, you guys probably remember them. They've been on before. And what a delight you guys both are, by the way. I've just had so much fun with you guys, and you're just some of the sweetest people I've ever met. Just get
thank
that out of the
way.
Thank you.
Well, and you know what? I think for those that may not have maybe heard the first interviews that I had with you guys, why don't one of you just take a minute and let everyone know kind of where, you know, what, how these books come to be, you know, what it is that you actually do, Michelle, and how that, how all of this transpires and what we're actually going to be kind of getting into with this book tonight.
Well, that's a good way to start off. I could kind of give an introduction. About 8 years ago, Michelle went through a lot of profound changes, and part of those changes entailed visitations or apparitions of Mother Mary, the Divine Mother, we tend to call her Mary. And in those apparitions, Michelle began to receive messages and information about what's going to unfold and what is unfolding on the world stage. So the messages were very prophetic in character. They were very unexpected for Michelle. The messages also came with information about many, many other topics, about personal transformation, about spiritual insights, about different kinds of information that she and I needed as we were progressing in our journeys. But much of the information did relate to events that were going to happen on the world stage and how we collectively could influence them for the better.
Okay. So, there was a question that I didn't ask you from before when you guys were on. When you speak of apparitions, are you talking about that she actually appears before you? Is that correct, Michelle?
Yes.
And I want to make it very clear, this wasn't really anything that you had actually asked for. It just was something that kind of happened to you.
Correct. Correct. I definitely wasn't looking for and or interested in anything spiritual or religious and or religious on a conscious level. I was absolutely not looking for this. This happened to me.
Well, and a question here for you. When this first happened to you, when Mary first appeared to you or first talked to you or whatever, however that first encounter was, were you kind of deflective of that? Were you like, why me? Why are you doing this?
Well, the way that my personality is kind of for a long time I had been meditating, and when she appeared to me, I knew that what had happened was a real happening, and she was very brief in words that very first time that she came, and she said that I could call her Our Lady of Light, and then she said for me not to be afraid, and then the other thing that she said was that she would come to me every day for the rest of my life.
Oh wow, that gives me the goosebumps there.
Yes,
so.
And so in that process, you know, when I was sitting there in that meditation, in that moment, however long those moments were, there was a sense of timelessness, and there was also a sense of extreme, profound love. I can't even, to say it in words doesn't come anywhere near grasping what that particular experience was on that particular day. And I knew it was real, and that was the beginning of the process of shattering everything.
Well, I imagine that was pretty life altering. I've had encounters like that myself, but certainly they don't go on a daily basis. But
no, you can't.
Yeah, it's just phenomenal. Well, let's get you've written a lot of books, but this last one is the one that we're talking about. As soon as I received this book from you guys, by the way, I kind of held it in my hands, and I was like, it has some urgency to it, for the lack of a better way of saying it. The messages in this particular book is about messages to humanity. There are indications, there are things that you guys are both going to share with us tonight, in regards to what's going on in the world today. And we're also going to be talking too about some specific messages for those of us who live in the United States. And briefly, as I was telling you, I didn't have a chance to read all of it, but what I did read, it was enough to go, okay, we have to do this like right now. There was this real sense of urgency about this book, about the messages. And I just can't wait until we get into this and you can kind of share with us. We talked about it before we went on the air about how you guys were just going to kind of go through and maybe pick the ones that you think would be the most applicable for, you know, this particular day on this interview with us. So I'm going to kind of let one of you, I don't know which one he's going to speak first, but why don't you go ahead and just start with some of the messages that are in this book, Time of Fire, Way of Fire.
Well, I'll start, Rebecca. Thank you. and then we want to let Michelle do most of the talking because she's the visionary here. But what came through very early on, and was very hard for both Michelle and I to fully assimilate it, was the message that our planet is in the midst of a monumental change. And we talk about the meaning of the change, and it is ultimately, in its biggest sense, a spiritual transformation that is going to touch every soul on this planet and the planet itself. And we're in the midst of that right now, and we're going to see it manifest on personal levels in terms of one's own life, one's maybe health, one's relationships, one's family. We're going to see it manifested in the political arena, the economic arena, in military exploits. It's going to impact us globally. And this is maybe the overarching theme of the book, is that we are in the midst of a tremendous change. And in this country, as we go through our day, we sometimes, it's easy to lose touch or lose sight of that, because maybe in our personal life we're not in a crisis. Maybe things seem fairly normal for us. But this crisis is impinging on people in different ways. Collectively, of course, if you were in Iraq, you'd be feeling it in a tremendous way. But it's going to, our lives are changing. We can feel it in different ways. People talk about it in different ways. They express it in different ways. And part of what the book does, it frames the changes in a meaning, with a meaning that can make them understandable to people, and so that people can move with them, ride this wave of change into a profound, profound spiritual transformation.
Well, and I think the other thing that we probably need to draw attention to here is that this is, for anyone that doesn't recognize that the earth is in major throes of change, just stick your head out the door for a minute, because the weather will change. The weather patterns, the volcanoes, the tsunamis, and that's just part of what's going to continue on as the earth does go through her changes. And it is cyclic in nature.
Yes.
And we all have to understand that this is not some, and I think the huge thing in here is that this is not a punishment against humanity.
No.
Not at all.
And that's important, because sometimes the messages can feel or seem overwhelming, but there's a tremendous hope. Those of us who are on the planet today have come here to participate, to be part of this change, and there's a tremendous window of opportunity if we can not succumb to fear or despair, but see the opportunity that's being placed in our laps. I put it this way, you know, there's a tremendous energy coming into our planet, and it's like a rising tide, and boats in the harbor will be lifted by that rising tide. And we can do the same thing. If we open ourselves to this energy, it's an energy of love, it's an energy of light. If we can open ourselves to it and not succumb to the negativity that's also assaulting the planet now, we can be like those ships in the harbor and rise to a higher level.
I agree. Okay. So is Michelle up next?
Yes.
we kind of take turns. I like for Kevin to do the startup of it. He does a really good job of putting things in ways where, condensing the information in ways where people can really grasp it. I have a tendency to kind of fly with it in different directions, so I like for him to do that. But another thing about A Time of Fire, it's a very, you said this earlier when we were talking, it's a very intense book. So the information in it is it will jolt you. But there's also this section in that book, at the last part of that book, is about revelations. And it was interesting when we were doing the book, this is kind of a worthy little story. I won't go into all of the details, but I'll just summarize it. We were almost done, meaning Kevin was almost done, because he's really the writer. He's the brains that's putting it all together. And so he was almost done pulling it all together, and Mary appeared to me, and she said, well, you know, there's another part of this, the last section, that you're getting ready to do. And she said, you need to read Revelations. Well, to be honest with you, I had never sat down and read the Bible. And I've never read Revelation, so I kind of thought, well, you know, okay, I'll read it sometime when I have some time. Well, she kept kind of coming at me, read Revelations. And so what ended up happening is I was sitting in my living room, and over a period of a few weeks, I had apparitions actually from Jesus Christ. And in those, He was translating to me a kind of underlying code within Revelations, what Revelations really was. And one of the things that's so fascinating about that is that he said to me, you know, this speaks, every word has layers and layers and layers and layers and layers of meaning. So depending on your level, on the level of your development, the level of your consciousness, will depend upon what you grasp. So that in itself is a mind-boggling thing. And he said, Revelations, yes, it tells the story of the possibility, the prophecy of the possibility of the times that you're in, which we know that. He said, but it also gives to you the solution. You, the people of the planet, can make this different. Yes, the change is going to come. That is a part of the divine plan. How it happens is up to us, humanity. And so the last section, to me, even to this day, is still just blows my mind, because it's so amazing how we are empowered. We are magical, mystical beings, and we know that, but we can make a difference. So the impact isn't so brutal. And so it's, you know, that in itself is the urgency. It's like, wake up and make a change, make a difference, so that, you know, perhaps we don't have to see so much suffering. Perhaps we can shift the vibrations of the war collectively.
Well, okay, now that might be a good place for us to start. What about the war?
Well, now, you know, from the last time that we spoke, I think a little bit, Mary had told me a long time ago that 9/11, okay, was a critical pivotal turning point. And she also told me at that time that 9/11 was an inside job. Okay, it's not that there's not an Osama bin Laden. He's a branch of the CIA, and he has his agendas, and he partakes in certain things. But she told me that this was an inside job, and she said that this was a part of a plan around this whole thing in Iraq and in the Middle East. Now, when we see that, a lot of us say, well, this is about money and greed, and that's true. But there's more to it than just money and greed and politics. There's a whole agenda that is taking place to, I would say, putting it nicely, to control the masses in a collective way, in which we are herds of cattle, where our rights are taken away from us. And this whole thing in Iraq, and there's other things that are going on, but this whole thing in Iraq, I mean, Mary told me a long, 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 long time ago, she said, you know, this war is going to be a long, long, drawn-out war on the ground. And I remember at one point George Bush announced on television that we had won the war, that it was over. Huh! You know, all of these people dead. 500,000, she's told me. There are 500,000 people that have been killed there. It's a horrific crime. And so that's step one. Step two is, you know, Iran. That's already in the mix, and they're mixing it and stirring it around, and that's going to explode, and it's going to extend into other countries there when that explodes. It's going to be a very hard time. And the thing of it is that we look at that and we say, yes, that looks like that's the most likely path, and it is the most likely path. That's why those messages come in, and they're so intense. They're the most likely path. But prophecy, as Mary has shared with me, is not set in stone. So we can take that information that comes to us and we can shift certain things collectively. And one of the ways that we do that is through being more loving and through more prayer and more meditation and more connectedness and respect for each other and respect for the world. And together, if we pray for a certain thing, very many of us, if we pray together, we shift the intensity of that, and we could possibly stop certain things depending upon how many are praying very deeply together, purely from their hearts.
Okay, now I have a question for you. Let's get back to the agenda.
Okay.
Because I have a theory on this, and I'm going to see if maybe Mary has spoken to you about it.
Okay.
I believe that this was an agenda that's actually been ongoing for long, long time.
Yes.
Long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of been here for, I don't know. I mean, it just seems like it's just been here. I have always felt that there was a agenda. You know, there's names for them. Obviously, people will have all these conspiracy theories, and I don't think they're so far off. And that's part of what they're talking about is like an underground government, if you will.
Yes.
And I will also tell you is if people will stop and think about when 9/11 actually happened. And if we go back and watch the news footage of what our president did at that time, he wasn't even surprised. He wasn't in any hurry. He continued on with whatever he was doing and acted as if it was no big deal. And I've always felt that there was so much more there. And if people can't wake up and smell the coffee, so to speak, please understand that this was, and I have to agree that it was an inside job, because we had Osama bin Laden, and for some reason, all of a sudden, they couldn't find him. I mean, in this day and age, and in the electronics that we have, the ability from satellite to go into my house, and they could see me talking on this phone right now, if that's what they wanted to do, that they couldn't find one person.
Right.
And
right. That's a humongous joke.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely, it's an insult to the intelligence of the people, and I say to you, please, you know, when you listen to the news, you listen to it with half of your ears, because half of what they're saying, there's some basis of fact, but most of it is set up so that it can feed the frenzy that's already been in place for eons of time here.
Exactly.
And that's just, it's a terrible, terrible insult to our intelligence. And so I urge people, if you really want some true media coverage, don't listen to your local news, that's for sure. You guys, don't go away. We got more with Kevin and Michelle in just a moment.
Want to know what's on my coffee table? The latest issue of Fate Magazine. Hi, this is Rebecca. You know, Fate Magazine provides a one-of-a-kind reading experience. Published continuously since 1948, Fate is the only publication to consistently supply its loyal readership with a broad array of true accounts of the strange and unknown, from psychics and spiritualists to archaeological hotspots and fringe science, from authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations to readers' personal mystic experiences. Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Fate's unique mix serves the growing audience of people seeking both answers and entertainment. Find out more about Fate, and to subscribe, log on to www.fatemag.com or call 1-800-728-2730.
Get your intuitive reading from Rebecca. Call now to set up your appointment for a personal and private reading at 1-888-958-2768. That's 1-888-958-2768.
Did you know you could email Rebecca with a question, comment, or even a show idea? She may even answer your question on the air. Email her at mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com.
211,000. That's the estimated number of women who will be diagnosed with breast cancer this year.
Early detection is key to survival, which is why screening is so important.
Hi, I'm Diane Nelson. If you're 40 or older, my husband, Senator Ben Nelson, and I urge you to call your doctor or health clinic to schedule your yearly mammogram.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Okay, welcome back. And you are listening to Journeys with Rebecca. We're here with Michelle and Kevin Henley. We're talking about the book, A Time of Fire, A Way of Fire. These are messages that Michelle has been receiving. I don't know, how long did the process of this particular book take, Michelle?
Well, the messages cover maybe about a five-year period, but these are the messages that have more to do with the, let's say, global changes that will happen.
Okay.
And writing it was took about a little over a year.
Okay, so this is a compilation here then.
Yes.
Of all the changes. You know, we kind of left off in the last segment talking about some of the political ramifications here, talking about the 9/11, that kind of thing. But, you know, there's other things going on besides the war in Iraq, and I also think that's kind of a little, in my opinion, there's somewhat of a smokescreen. If our attention is over there, we're not paying attention to what's underneath our nose. But before we bring it closer to home, there's two countries that I'm very concerned about. I've been seeing this for a few years. And one of them is China and the other one is Russia. And the latest thing is, this was as of this week, the Kremlin or whatever they're called over there in Russia, has issued a statement to the people of Russia that he is going to pay them to have children because their population is declining, and so now he's going to pay all these people to have children. And I'm thinking, oh, that's bad. That's bad. And then China, we get a little rumbling, and then it backs off, and we get a little rumbling. And each time those rumblings are just a little bit louder than the time before. So my concern is of those two things. Has Mary spoken about any of that that's going on?
Well, Rebecca, she has. She's called China the sleeping dragon. She says when the dragon awakens, it's going to destroy everything in its path. And we have to remember that China, even though they've opened up their economy to the West, they're very authoritarian, they're very harshly authoritarian, and the government still controls that country very tightly. And they're basically, right now, they're very heavily implicated in what's going on in the Mideast. They were very much involved with Saddam Hussein. They're supplying arms over there. They're very tightly involved with Iran, and I think we're going to see what has been a China that stayed in the background. I think we're going to see them move further and further into the forefront as things unfold in the world stage. And, of course, thinking of North Korea, too, which is another hotspot for our country, but another area where things could take a very, very unfortunate turn. In Russia, well, let's put it this way. Mary has said that we talked about the agenda. She calls it the master plan. And she says those who are orchestrating the master plan are what she calls the players. These are world leaders who are working in concert. And, of course, George Bush is one. You have leaders in the Mideast. You have leaders in Europe, the royal family. The leaders of Russia and China are players. Putin, the leader of Russia, is a player. And when she says players, what does she mean? She's talking about beings who she calls dark beings. And this is a whole of the story. She's not making a pejorative comment. She's making an observation. These people are committed to a very dark agenda. They're committed to working in concert together. And that agenda has as its highest purpose destroying the light on this planet. And this is where, of course, you do that in a lot of different ways. And one is through war, one is through fear, economic crises, the things that we've been seeing throughout our history that often are not just man-made but are orchestrated from higher levels.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more about the possibility of nuclear war. Has she spoken about that?
Yes. Yes, she has. And actually, within about a month, so within the past 4 weeks or so, she appeared to me and she said to me that there is a possibility. Now, I want to repeat that when I say that. There is a possibility that this earth could be completely annihilated. Okay, so in that, and she was in that vision, in that apparition, she was talking to me about nuclear war. And so that possibility is there. She's also shown me nuclear devices going off, smaller nuclear devices that would go off in certain cities and destroy portions of cities. And so what it leads me to think is that there's a technology out there that the general public doesn't completely know and or understand. And that this possibility of nuclear war, and I don't want to add fear because fear is deadly to the mission of light. So when I say this, I say it with caution, saying, you know, to whomever is listening, don't fall into fear. Recognize that this is a possibility and that we collectively can avoid this. But it's something, it's a part of the plan, it's a part of the agenda.
Okay.
And it's a very scary thought.
It is. I'll follow up with that in just a second. Let's move the political stuff closer to home. Let's bring it over to the United States. What is it that's going on here that... Of course, we know what's going on here, but I mean, what are the messages as far as, you know, I'm just, I hate to say it, but I'm just not a Bush fan. You know, I'll probably get booed for that, but, you know, it is what it is. What do they see for changes in our political regime over here in the United States? What does Mary see?
Well, Rebecca, Mary, you mentioned Bush, and she's had some very harsh things to say about President Bush. And they don't come from a political agenda. They come from a spiritual perspective. And he is a being of much darkness, and he's bringing, and his group of people are bringing much darkness to our country, and they have been for the past number of years. And, you know, we're going to see, I think, much more divisiveness in the country. I think this is being seeded intentionally to create divisions among the American people. I think our economy is being manipulated. The markets are being propped up artificially, and I think the rug can be pulled out at any time, and when that happens, people will feel it very close to home economically. I think there's other agendas also that are woven in. We talked about the manipulation of the media, which is huge because the media is a way that they use to control our thoughts, our perceptions, our attitudes, and, you know, in one form or another, you know, we're all becoming or have become consumers. You know, life is driven by money, by material possessions, and so that keeps people asleep so they can't see the most obvious, the most egregious harms that are being done by the government. They can't see these things. I mean, I grew up at a time during the Vietnam War, and of course we saw the Vietnam War on television. Now, Michelle mentioned earlier that the casualties in Iran, according to Mary, are at 500,000. Those are mostly civilians, and the official reports are coming out saying they're 35,000. And so we don't have a clue what's really going on the other side of the world, or really right in front of our noses. Now, what's going to happen to Bush as his support continues to erode? I don't know. Maybe Michelle has a better sense. Maybe she's gotten some messages recently, but you know, more and more people are waking up, and they're recognizing that something's very wrong, although they often come to different conclusions about why. But I think that's a very hopeful sign. Unfortunately, something Mary said very briefly to Michelle recently that was a very sobering, very short message. She said, there'll be bloodshed in your country. And she said that about 6 weeks before 9/11. Now, you have to keep in mind that back in the year 2000, before 9/11, you know, it was very hard to imagine these types of things happening, like 9/11, about the Mideast War that Mary was talking about then that hadn't happened yet. But she said 6 weeks before 9/11, more or less, there'll be bloodshed in your country. And we didn't understand what that really meant. And, of course, 9/11 happened. So, in a sense, she's preparing us for something that I think could be very, very tragic for the American people. And the other thing that she said is that, you know, we have to know that what we've done in Iraq is going to come back to us in one form or another. We will not be insulated from our actions. And so if you look at it karmically, or if you just look at it in terms of the terrorist war, you know, we have some great challenges ahead of us as we move forward. And I think as these events emerge on the horizon, whether they happen in the way she prophesies or whether they're shifts, no one can say. She doesn't even say, because she says that free will is always a factor. But I think we have to wake up to realize that something is very amiss within our own country, and people feel it in their bodies. They feel it, they see it in their dreams. They know something's off, and I think what I would do is encourage people to pay attention to that sense. Don't dismiss it. Don't think it's something just personal. There's something collective that's happening that's touching all of us. And if we could just pay attention to that, not be pulled back into the consumer fantasies that aren't going to lead us anywhere, that are just going to pull us down eventually. Because Mary said something once that was very, 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 I think, appropriate. She said, most people are going to wake up before it's too late. And she said, the American people are like the proverbial frog in a pot of boiling water, doesn't realize that its fate is sealed before it's too late. But if more and more people wake up, the shifts can happen, and it doesn't mean we all have to be heroes. We just have to change our hearts and speak the truth, and phenomenal things can take place.
Well, and also in that, I think it's a time to act, and that action means different things to different people. And when I say that, I mean it in peaceful ways, without the hatred, without the anger, and united. This country, Mary told me once that this country was like an adolescent, teenage mentality. And so with that fire, we can do, imagine that, you know, the rebel teenagers. But we're sleeping, we're walking, we're too tired, or we're too busy. We're too, you know, chasing being rats in the system. And so it's like, it's time to wake up. It's time to act. For some of us, that action is prayer. For others, that action is protest. But we have got to get together. And we have to be really careful, because as Kevin was talking about the agenda, one of the things Mary said is there's this whole thing, this whole stir about immigration and immigrants. And it's the biggest stupid hoot on the planet. All of us are immigrants.
Yeah.
You know, we're all immigrants. We all came from somewhere else.
That's true.
Cosmically, and also our roots. You know, the only ones that aren't immigrants are the Native American Indians. The rest of us are immigrants. And she says, this agenda is coming in right now. It's no accident. And the reason it's coming in is it's to stir these prejudices, because you divide and conquer.
Right.
And well, as we are being divided amongst each other, we're battling our little dramas and our dramas about he's a Mexican and he's a black and he's a white. Oh, my God. Wake up, America. Forget about that crap. Forget about it. Stand united, because together, as a rebel teenager, we can change everything.
And we can. And one last thought before we end this segment. One of the things that's been pointed out to me, when Hitler came into power, what was the first thing he did? He closed off its borders.
Well, let me...
Hello, people. Hello.
Mary called George Bush, and excuse me, George Bush, but she called him a blood-hungry dictator.
It's exactly what he is.
And that's now what we've got, and everybody's worried about, I've got to make my mortgage.
Right.
You know, while the shit is just stirring, and excuse my language, it's just stirring all over, and people are dying in Iraq, and that's going to happen here if we don't wake up.
We've got
to act.
Hang on, and we'll be right back. I love my coffee, and during every Journeys with Rebecca radio show, I'm sipping on a big cup of my favorite coffee. You know, everyone who knows me knows how much I love my coffee, and I'm always drinking it from my super-sized Journeys logo coffee mug. It's a hefty 15-ounce ceramic mug, large, easy-grip handle, with the logo of Journeys with Rebecca emblazoned on the side. You know, it really is a beautiful cup. So join me with a big cup of Java and some wonderful conversation. You can find this special item at my web store. And for a limited time and for a very special price of only $16.99. So go to my website, journeyswithrebecca.com, and click on the web store link. Now that's like a good cup of coffee.
For the people in our military, it's a time of sacrifice and duty. That's why all four military aid societies have joined together to form the Armed Forces Relief Trust to help military families cope with financial and medical emergencies at home. With so many serving overseas, the need is greater than ever. You can learn more and donate at www.afrtrust.org. A message from the National Association of Broadcasters and this station. Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. We're here with Michelle and Kevin Henley. And, you know, guys, we have talked an awful lot about, we've touched on a lot of different political arenas and the wars and, you know, obviously what's going on here in the Americas on a political level. But, you know, I kind of want to focus now, if you guys will, about more of the spiritual aspects of what Mary is saying, and what the messages are for not only for me, but for everyone else that's out there listening.
Well, in a nutshell, what Mary says is that this is a time in which we are turning, where the possibility is there, where we are turning to grace. And so we have to take individual responsibility for ourselves in that process. And she says prayer, meditation, spiritual practices, and lovemaking for those who are in a committed, loving relationship are tools to transform our frequencies so that our hearts can really open, so that we can hold the love that is in our hearts already, and so that we can radiate that love out into our lives, into our families, our friends, into things around us, into this earth. And so that is what we're called to do. Now, in that process, anybody who's ever gone through a spiritual experience knows that that means that you create changes in your life, and you begin in those changes to live a more spiritual, more harmonious, more simple life. And some of those changes are difficult because things begin to get shattered from your perception at first. How we see this dream that we're living in, and how we need to transform it into higher thoughts, higher ways, into the Christ consciousness, into that profound depth of endless love. And so that's the spiritual, briefly, that's the spiritual message. And of course, there's details around that. There's ways that we can do that. We're working with changing our thought forms. We're working with opening up our DNA. We're working with healing out and spinning out the old. And that's why our book is named A Time of Fire, A Way of Fire, is because fire transforms. It changes one substance into another. And that's what we're doing and called to do individually. We're called to burn out all of the old patterns, the old conditioning, the old systems, collectively, individually. We're called to live in a much higher way. And so that's exciting. That's the exciting part of it. Kevin?
Well, I think it's a time to consciously examine one's priorities and one's goals. You know, early on, Mary said that fitting into this world is nothing in her eyes. And she says the only thing that makes one's life grand and great is to try to become one with God, which she means become pure love. And, you know, it's so easy for us to fall back into what Michelle was saying is our old conditioning, our old patterns. And this is the time when we really have to struggle against that, set new priorities, new goals, make sacrifices. You know, once Mary said to us, it was about 2.5 years ago, she said, "What does one do when the world is being saturated in evil?" And she says those things to strike us with the immensity of what's happening in the world today, and because it's so easy to slip back into our sleeping states. And it's if we don't, there's, as we said earlier, there's a tremendous opportunity. And if we use the tools that Michelle has mentioned, however one approaches those, approaches prayer, meditation, spiritual practices, and lovemaking, that's individual how we approach those things. But we can transform, and we begin to see the life, our own consciousness shifting, our perceptions change, new possibilities emerge, and the miracle does happen, and it's just not an idle promise. Mary is saying, if you, as an individual, any of you, if you do what I'm asking you to do, you will transform, and this is not an idle promise. And we can't wait for others around us to do it and follow the herd. We all have to follow the wisdom in our hearts. We all have to have the courage to do what we know is right and break away from the collective. And then in that way, we could become leaders, and we show other people the example that there is a different way.
Well, and, you know, actually, I want to just make one little point before I let you guys tell everyone where you can get your books and all of that, is that when we talk about personal prayer and personal meditation, personal work that we do, you know, this really takes no more time. I think a lot of people are still afraid that they're giving up a part of themselves to become different, and it's totally the opposite. It's totally the opposite. Prayer and meditation is powerful, positive transformational tools. There's much information out there on how to learn how to meditate and how to get into that, because I can hear people out there going, "Well, I don't know how to meditate." Well, prayer and meditation are very similar. They're not identical, but they're similar. So it is something that can be accomplished, and it's not about the quantity of time, it's about the quality of the time that you do the work.
Right.
And you know, we all have to go to work. We all have to put a roof over our head. But it's the perspective on why we're doing it, not because we need a 17-bedroom house or we need to, you know, drive the Mercedes or the Lexus or whatever. It's not about what we can accumulate. It's about the reasons why we're accumulating them. Everybody needs a car to get around in our society. It's how we perceive what it is that we're doing when we go to work and paying the mortgage payment. It's all about perception and changing that. And so the reason why I'm bringing all this up is because in your books, you've got more than just this one that we've talked about. You have a lot. Mary has shared a lot of information with people on very, very clear and concise verbiage. So it's not all esoteric and metaphysical. It's very down to earth language. So I'd like you guys to take a few minutes here, tell everybody where your website is, where you can get your books, maybe mention a couple of the titles. You've got a couple minutes here.
Okay. Well, our website is www.ourladyoflightpublications.com. It's OurLadyOfLightPublications.com. And at the website, we have posted a lot of Mary's messages, a lot of the information she's given over the last few years. And that's all available just going into the website. Also available are our books, and if you'd mention A Time of Fire, A Way of Fire is our most recent book. We also have a book called Mary's Way, Romantic Love as a Path to God, where this contains Mary's messages about opening the heart through relationship, about the proper use of sexual energy, what sexual energy really is. She's reframing this very important area of our lives that has been misunderstood for time immemorial. She's come with some very, very beautiful messages about this, and it's something that people really need at this time, where many areas of people's lives are in crisis, and one of those areas is relationship. And we have another book, and with the perhaps unlikely title, called Sex True or False: The Pleasures, Perils, and Passion of Sexual Intimacy. It's a very good treatment of the use and misuse of sexual energy, and it's appropriate for readers of all ages, adults, teenagers. They could all learn a lot about this very important area. And it doesn't, it talks about sexuality not in terms of morality, but what happens energetically when we engage in sexual intimacy. And again, it's another very important topic, particularly for our young people today.
Well, I want to thank both of you guys for being here. And just as a little teaser, you guys, we're going to have them back, and we're going to talk about the real Da Vinci Code information. You guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Rebecca. You're an angel. Thank you.
Blessings.
Blessings to you.
Thank you.
At Fate Magazine, they recognize the impossible can be possible. We explore the unknown so that it can be known, from personal accounts of ghosts and UFOs to scientific examination of psychic phenomena and earth mysteries. Fate's main purpose continues to be honest reporting and open discussion of the strange and the unknown. So log on to www.fatemag.com or call 1-800-728-2730.
Hi, this is Rebecca. You know, it's easy to keep up with all the latest Journeys news. My upcoming guest, just sign up to receive the Journeys newsletter. It's free, and you will never receive any junk mail. Your email is never sold or distributed. So keep up to date the easy way. Just log on to my website, journeyswithrebecca.com, and at the bottom of the main page, you'll see the box. Type in your email address, and you're done. And once a week or so, you'll receive all the latest Journeys news.
I'd like to thank my guests tonight for sharing their wonderful information and knowledge with us. And a special thanks goes out to you, the listeners. Now, you know, the guests I have on air are given the opportunity to share their viewpoints or ideas. Now, you and I have the opportunity of choice in regards to those ideas or viewpoints. Be sure to check in next week for more enlightening educational talk and discoveries. This is Rebecca of Journeys with Rebecca. Until we meet again, where will your life's journey take you? Many blessings and good night.
Hey, I'm Bonnie Raitt. Remember how excited you were as a kid to go back to school at the end of the summer? Seeing old friends, making new ones, getting new books and a new locker, a clean slate. And music class, that special room where you went to sing and perform with your friends and learn all sorts of interesting stuff about great composers of instruments and different kinds of music. We remember our music teachers because they were so passionate about helping us learn to love music. They help spark a love for listening to notes and voices and rhythms that continues to enrich our lives even today. Know what? I bet your kids feel the same way about music class. Ask them and make sure they get involved with music in school this year.
A back-to-school PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, Gibson Guitar, Baldwin Piano, and this station. Music, it wires the brain for learning.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.